This is Marketplace. I'm Amy Scott. Mortgage applications fell last week as the average interest rate on a 30-year mortgage hit 4.9%. That's from the Mortgage Bankers Association's weekly survey out today. And I'm going to put on my housing reporter hat now because this survey is just one of many indicators I'm watching all the time. There's existing home sales from the National Association of Realtors, housing starts and new home sales from the Census Bureau. Making sense of all these different data points can be daunting, so we're going to take a few minutes to talk about one of the big ones, the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller National Home Price Index. I know, it's a mouthful.
Yeah, nothing else has a name that long.
That is Craig Lazara with S&P Dow Jones Indices. It's the S&P part of that long name. Last week's release told us that home prices were up 19.2% year over year in January. Yeah, January was a while ago. I'll get to the lag in the data a bit later. But there's a reason we make a big deal about Case-Shiller. Most of the other home price indicators we talk about look at the mix of houses that sold in a given month or quarter or year, and there's a problem with that.
You know, if in one year the houses that sell are typically relatively small, two and three bedrooms, and the next year predominantly they're, you know, very large six and seven bedrooms with lots of land.
Okay, use your imagination here. Picture a bunch of modest bungalows and cottages on the market one year, but lots of fancy homes with big yards the next year.
Obviously, it's going to look like prices went up when maybe all that happened was the mix of product changed.
That's where two economists named Carl Case and Robert Shiller come in.
Chip Case and Bob Shiller, you know, have been thinking about this for a long time.
Okay, so Chip and Bob, a.k.a. Case and Shiller, were studying the housing market back in the 1980s.
People who knew him better than I do said Chip loved real estate. I mean, he would, you know, go to open houses on the weekend just to see how houses were doing. You know? And Bob is much more just a, you know, an academic economist. But they did this. They were interested. They did this as a way of understanding.
What Chip and Bob did is figure out how to control for that variability in quality and size and neighborhood from year to year by looking at repeat sales of the same houses.
The repeat sales mechanism is a way of adjusting for the mix of product so that you really are getting an apples-to-apples comparison.
The way you do that is by comparing the price of houses sold this year to the sale price of those same houses whenever they last changed ownership.
And then there's a certain amount of adjustment they have to do because if, you know, parents sell the house to the children, you probably don't want to count that one.
It's a lot of work. And that's one reason that Case-Shiller indices, there are actually several versions of them, have that two-month lag. They're calculated on a three-month rolling average. So the numbers we got last month in March were based on data from January of this year and November and December of last year.
This goes back just to when initially data was being collected, not electronically, but with, you know, just by person. It took longer, obviously, to collect that data, and it took longer to record the data.
That's Selma Hepp, deputy chief economist at CoreLogic. That's right, another company in that long name, the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller National Home Price Index. The ownership rights have been bought and sold a few times. Today, CoreLogic collects and compiles the data, while S&P distributes the indices. There's another reason they've had staying power.
It's one of the oldest ones, and, you know, people understand it very well. It's not like a black box.
Economists like to look at change over time, and the data goes back to the late 1980s. So even if it's not the most timely housing metric, it can tell meaningful stories, like the fact that single-family homes, adjusted for inflation, cost 75% more today than when the index started in 1987. Thanks again to Selma Hepp at CoreLogic and Craig Lazara at S&P.